You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. As Christians, we are called to exhibit humility, forgiveness, and honoring others. Dig deeper into this truth in week 8 of our series, Forward.
All right, who among you were here for the past 7 Sundays already? Can you show me your hands? Complete attendance from start to end. All right, we've embarked in this series we called Forward because as we've talked about it, it's all about us being a disciple of Christ. We've learned here that God did not just save us for us to wait for heaven to pick us up. You are not just a Christian on a Sunday 5 to 6:30, but Christianity starts with us understanding that it is our identity. And because of that identity, it moves us to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling of being a Christian. That is why we've learned that being a disciple, there's 3 F of discipleship, and this is what we've been talking about, the Forward series, us moving forward. We don't want to stagnate in our relationship with God. We don't just want to stay in one place. We want to keep moving forward. Or who among you here knows someone who's been working out or going to a gym and then contented lang sa ilang lawas? Like, I'm fine with this. And 4 years of going to the gym, spending how much money, buying all these supplements, buying all this. And after 5 years, moro sige po ng lawas, diba? We all want progress. Or who among you here, at one point in your life, you've registered, you've enrolled in a school, and then you only want to stay first year college. Ma, I just want to stay in college for the rest of my life. I'm glad I graduated. I mean, all of us want to progress in our life, whether that be in what we do, in school, or in our workplace, right? We want to be promoted. We want to grow. Growth is a factor of life. That's why, as we are talking about forward, we're talking about us being a Christian and not staying where we are, but moving forward to the call that God has for us. And that is what discipleship is all about. Firstly, discipleship is us following Jesus. When we say we are following Jesus, we've divided this, the first 3 weeks of this series. This is basically a 9-week series. So we've talked about spiritual disciplines, essential doctrines, and life change. Here we've learned that Jesus is Lord in every area of our lives. We've established that Jesus is Lord. It's a no-brainer. Now, knowing that Jesus is Lord, we are now compelled or we are now moved towards the mission that He has for us. If we say that Jesus is Lord, eventually will lead us to fish for men. Us fishing for men, us making disciples, is just but a byproduct of us intimately clinging on to Jesus. If you don't have compassion for the people around you, then there might be a problem with your relationship with God. Why? Because as what Jesus said to His disciples, come follow me. The invitation is for all of us to follow Jesus. And I believe the reason why you are here is because you are saying yes to that invitation to follow Him. And eventually, God said that I, Jesus, saying, will make you fishers of men. Meaning, it is Jesus who will make you eventually a lover of people. That's why we've learned here that understanding the gospel, preaching the gospel, and the discipleship mandate. All right, now the last 3 weeks, starting last week, this week, and next week, we're going to focus on fellowship with believers. Now, with this 3 level of relationship, relationship with Jesus, relationship with people who do not know Jesus, and relationship with other believers. This is a mark of a disciple. How would you know if a person is a disciple of Jesus? He's following Jesus, he's fishing for men, and he's fellowshipping with other believers. God has called us into a fellowship. What is fellowship? Fellowship means fellowship, meaning in the same boat. Hindi siya joke. Seryoso ko, ana. That's the reality of it. Fellowship, you being at the same boat, you together, all right, in the same boat. And that is what God has called us to do. Yes, God has handpicked us individually, wherever you are, whoever you are, but God also collectively called us to do one thing. And we're going to learn that later on. Because God has called us into fellowship, God has called us into a community. And we've learned that last week. Pastor Archie was here and he preached a powerful truth about us coming together as a church, being part of a church, and us taking part of what God is doing in the church. And not just being part of a community, but God has called us into this family. So with this three topic, church community, we've discussed that last week. Today, we're going to talk about relational unity. And next week, we're going to talk about shared life. Now, if this is your first time, I want to encourage you. The series kasi is a build-up series. So I want to encourage you, take time. If you miss a series, go to our victorydumaguete.org website and then you can download podcasts for you to catch up. So basically, discipleship is a lifelong journey. It's a journey. It's not a one-time stopover. Once you know Christ, it's not like a one-time, big-time opportunity that you raise your hands, you give up your life to Jesus. No. But as you come to know Christ, God will lead you to a journey. That's why discipleship is first and foremost a lifelong journey with Jesus. It's not with Victory Dumaguete, it's not with your leader, or it's not with your friends in church, but it's with Jesus. Jesus being Lord in every area of our life. And you learn this in your one-to-one, that if Jesus is not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all, all right? Lordship is a no-brainer issue in this church, in this house. And if we put Christ first in our life, eventually we will be able to fish for men. And as we commit ourselves to follow Jesus, fish for men, eventually it will lead us to a fellowship. We don't prioritize fellowship, but it is just but a byproduct of us committing ourselves in following Jesus and fishing for men. Now, as we turn our Bibles to 1 Peter 3, 8-9, it says here, finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted, and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessings. I'm basically reading the NLT version. It says here, finally. Now, Peter had made his conclusion. In the past few weeks, or in the past 7 weeks, we've learned the life of Peter. We have been following how Peter have encountered Christ, how Christ loved him, how he formed his identity, and how he was able to understand his identity and move towards the call that God has for him. And now he is in his conclusion. Finally, all of you, that means you and your seatmate. Can you look at the person seated next to you? Okay, yan, okay? Masiging ana rin yang nawong, God has a call for that person. All of you should be of one mind. All right? Now, when you talk about one mind, in other translation or in our ESV Bibles, we learn here that unity of mind, that we need to be united in our thoughts, in our mind. And what does that mean? Unity of mind means being like-minded. But the question here is, for what reason? Why do we have to come together? Where are we gearing that one mind towards? Why do we have to come together? I mean, what for? Simple. Because God has given us a mandate. God has given a mission to this church. And unless we come together united, unless we come together understanding that this is God's call for all of us, then we can only do much with this call. And this is what God has called us as a church, to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. This is what God has called us to do as a church. Now, if you are considering this as your local church, then I invite you to run with us with this mission. We want to invite you to run with us in reaching out the campuses here in our city. Yes, we have students around here. Yes, we have campus missionaries. But unless we come together, understand that this is what God has called us to do as a church, then we'll never get to influence or reach out the campuses in our cities. Not only that, but God has called us to reach out the nations. God has called us as a local church to be global as well. Okay? You may look at your situation right now, Dumaguete, small city. But guess what? We've already sent 6 mission teams to six nations. We've already had mission teams in Pakistan, in Mongolia, in India, in Myanmar, in Vietnam, and now we're sending one to Cambodia. This is what God has called us to do, and unless we come to understand to be united, then there's nothing we can do about it. Another thing to be in one mind is the values. You see, there are a lot of companies out there that up until today, they are still existing simply because they have what we call core values. How they do things may change. In the same way here as a church, the things we do here as a church may change, but the core values will never change. What are those core values? One is lordship, that Jesus is Lord in every area of our life. If He is not Lord in every area of our life, then He is not Lord at all. Kumbaga, lordship is a no-brainer. Lordship is a factor, or lordship is a significant mark of your growth in your relationship with God. Second, evangelism. We value the lost. That's why we create events for people to encounter Jesus. We don't create events for Christians to come together, you know, and be filled. No, we create events to challenge people to go out there and make disciples. Why? Because Jesus came here for the lost, and that's what He has called us to do. Third, discipleship. Every one of us are called to make disciples. Fourth is leadership development. The person seated next to you is meant to make a difference. And unless we learn to understand that, then sayang opportunity. And last, family. We will never sacrifice our family in the altar of our success. We will put down our rights. We will put down whatever it is that we feel when someone is offended. Why? Because we value relationship. And Peter understands it so well when it comes to discipleship. When Jesus invited him, Peter knew so well that he wasn't just walking with Jesus on his own. But Peter was walking with John. Peter was walking with Matthew. Peter was walking with James. And imagine that with me. Peter being bold, being radical. But there was that time, the Last Supper, James and John's mother came to Jesus and they said, "Nah, you know what? Why don't these two sit at your left and the other one sit at your right?" And Peter was like, if you were Peter, I'm pretty sure, ay, yabang naman ito. Diba, nanay conflict, right? And you know, Matthew is a tax collector. And Jesus invited him to join him to walk with Jesus. And then if ikaw si Peter, being radical, being all that passionate for God, huh? Lord, madaot atong image. Peter knew it so well. Peter knew that when he was walking with Jesus, he wasn't alone. That's why, you know what, when God called us a community, as a church, guess what? There's nothing we can do about it, but conflict is something we cannot turn our back into. There will always be conflict in this church. There will always be differences in this church. Even in our small group, there will always be differences. Asa ta mag-small group? Dunkin? Or sa McDo? Or sa kuan? Dilita. There will always be that conflict. But the question here is that, what are we going to do when conflicts arise? When differences start to arise? The truth of the matter here is that Peter understands it so well. When we allow people to walk close enough to love us, to disciple us, we also allow them to get close enough to wound us. And that's the reality here. Truth of the matter here is that we will not always come here on Sunday and encourage you. You know what? God is for you. You know what? God will love you. And that's reality. God will love you. God will comfort you. But we will always preach what is truth. And sometimes truth hurts. Sometimes truth will hurt us. And we will not stop ourselves from preaching what is true. Why? Because the truth of the matter here is that when truth cuts us and pains us, and when we allow and respond right, it will grow us. And the truth is, Peter understands it so well. Peter also understands that conflicts are inevitable. There will be conflicts. You know, if you are going with us for a long time, one of the most common arguments we have after service is, asa mangaon, okay? We will always argue where to eat. Mas better diri. We will eat here, we'll eat there. And some of us will go at a different location, some of us, and it's okay. Just because we have differences doesn't mean we cannot come in unity. Just because your favorite seat is at the back and your friend sits in front doesn't mean we can't come in unity. But the question here is that, what are we going to do in front of conflicts? What should we respond when there is conflict? Simple. There are three truths I'm going to tackle here tonight, and I hope with the right attitude and with the right heart, we will get to embrace them. All right. Number one, it says here, make every effort to keep the unity. Ephesians 4:3 says here, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Jesus has already paid the high price for us to be united. And God's challenge for us is to be united. It is our responsibility that we come together, we fight for unity. It says here, make every effort. The Bible tells us to make every necessary effort to fight for unity. The truth here is, as much as your physics is difficult, all right? How many of you loves physics? For you, chicken mommy yan ng physics. But the truth is, physics for me is really hard. Way back in college, it was so difficult for me. And the truth is, even marriage, right? For married people here, you know, marriage is difficult to keep. But you know what? In the same way, unity as well is hard to keep. Why? Look at the person seated next to you. You think it's easy to keep unity with that person seated next to you? I don't think so. Okay? No matter how much you love that person, there will always be a time that that person will annoy you. That person will tick you off. But the question here, will you keep that unity? The reason why relationships fall apart is because we easily turn our back. We easily refuse to fight for unity. Why? Because, like I said, it's a hard work. Most of us want the body that most people post on social media. Most of us want those skills that most people have in social media, those dancing skills, those singing skills, those body goals and all that. But the truth here is, do you even know the sacrifice that they have to go through and the process that they have to go through to achieve that? Most of us doesn't want the process. We just want the product. In the same way with unity, we love the idea of us coming together. We cry in our social media, if we are united, kaya nato sugpoon ang problema sa Mindanao. But seriously, can we all come together with all our differences, with all the preferences that we have? It's hard. The truth is, it's hard. But the challenge here is that we have to keep fighting for unity. And I hope and pray that we will be a church that when we are confronted, when we are corrected, we won't walk away from that relationship. Because the truth is, we walk away so easily at that one time you are corrected in comparison to that 100 times you were loved. And I hope you will not be that one person na, ah, grabe. You know what? Grabe, gi-correct ko. Ayoko na sa church na to. Sometimes we're like that. The moment we're corrected, we choose to let go of the church and choose another church. Kasi we don't want correction. Church, we are not raising Christians who are sibuyas here. But we are raising Christian men and women who are strong enough to withstand correction. Why? Because your leader will be correcting you, not to destroy you, but to build you up. Imagine this with me. Imagine your leader coming up to you and telling you what's wrong with your life, telling that what you're doing is wrong. Imagine the time, the effort, and the emotion that leader has to put into just to speak into your life. If that person doesn't care, then that person wouldn't care talking to you the things that you are doing is wrong. So I hope and pray that when people come in front of you and tell you what's wrong, I hope and pray that you will not take it personally, but rather in the light of relationship, you see it as an opportunity that this person loves me so much to take time to talk to me in this level. And if someone is not correcting you, and if you are here, and if you've been with us for a long time already, and no one is correcting you, there's probably something wrong in that kind of relationship. And I hope and pray that as the people of God, we would allow people to correct us. We will not stop them from correcting us, but instead, we allow them to speak life into us. In the course of doing ministry, being part of this team, or being part of a lot of team, I have already come to a lot of arguments. We fight over what songs we should sing. You know, the lineups here, should it be Planet Shaker? Should it be Victory Music? And sometimes we talk about, say, suoton diri sa stage and all that. We agree on those level when we meet. But that doesn't mean we're not united. That doesn't mean we don't love each other. Just because we don't agree on some areas, that doesn't mean we don't love each other. Yes, there can be tensions. Just like Batman. Batman would always disagree with Superman. And the same way with Iron Man would disagree with Captain America and all other teams that we see in TV. There will always be tension. But here's the truth. Pwede tayong mag-away-away, pero hindi tayo maghihiwalay. We will always fight for each other. We will have disagreement. We will have tensions here in church. But I hope and pray that we will learn to let go of our rights, of what we feel like what is right for us, and instead we will fight for that relationship. Let me give you another reason why this is hard work. It's because of the person seated next to you. That's hard work. We are all hard work, and all of us is a work in progress. Now, secondly, I hope and pray that we will not be people who will be easily offended. Because here in church, there's no room for offense. And I just want to share a story with you with this Korean friend I discipled back in 2013, if I'm not mistaken. This is Myung. He's now in Korea. Back then, when I was discipling him, he knows God, but he doesn't believe in God. Eventually, he learned to understand his relationship with God, and he grew to be a Christian. In Ignite Conference, a leader approached me telling me that, you know, Myung and this leader, babae, are becoming close already. And for Myung, I've been asking him, he said na they're just friends. But for the girl, according to her leader, the girl is falling in love with Myung already. And that's kind of dangerous kasi the girl is already umaasa. Naka-enroll na siya sa Paasa University. And we don't want that to happen. As a church, we are against disposable relationships. That's why we encourage our student to pray, to allow God to be part of that decision in choosing the partner that you have or you will have. And fast forward, because I love Myung, I started talking to Myung in Ignite 2013. And because I'm not the kind of person who is confrontational before. So we were in one room. I was so excited to talk to him because I thought he would receive it properly. I singled him out and said, Myung, stop flirting with her. And he was like, whoa. He pushed me and punched the wall that is near us. And he turned his back on me. I was so scared that I might lose a friend right there. He walked out of me. I ran to my leader and cried because I was scared of his response. And that night, I was just praying to God, Lord, tama naman. Lord, I was right. I mean, my heart and my motive was right for this person. The following day, I made that conclusion. Why? Because I learned during my time I was praying, the Lord said, John, when you offended me, what did I respond to you? Have I not chosen to forgive you and have loved you? I said, tama. Even if ako ang tama, I will choose to forgive the person. I will apologize to the person. The following day, it was two-floor building. I was running around looking for Myung, and he wasn't around. So I was so scared. Oh my goodness. I was so worried. And while I was thinking about that, I saw Myung also running around. And he started saying, John, I was looking for you. And I said, Myung, I was also looking for you. And we were there in that moment. It's like staring at one another. I said, I have something to say. And he said, I have something to say too. No, go ahead. He said, no, go ahead. And he said, okay, Myung, I'm sorry. He said, no. I'm sorry. I did not understand what you meant because you just directed me about that. I wasn't able to explain myself. I'm sorry. I responded that, no, Myung, it was my fault. What am I trying to say here? The whole point here is that, you know, as a Christian, you have to learn to easily forgive people. In the same way, you have to learn to fight for the relationships that you have. Why? Because this is what God has called us to do. And after that, up until today, Myung will keep messaging me, hey, are you flirting with someone? And I said, no, I'm not. Are you? I said, no, I'm not. And he would say, hey, are you backbiting someone? I said, no. And we have that all the more intimate relationship. We can freely speak to one another. Why? Because we have learned to understand to fight for each other. And that is what God has called us to do. God has called us to make every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. The truth here is that God has already paid a price for us to be united. All we have to do is fight for it. Why? Because God is in the habit of putting two individual into one. And the enemy is in the habit of making that which God made one into two. That's why the enemy is constantly attacking the families right now. That's why divorces in this nation is rising up. That's why a lot of families are breaking apart simply because of the works of the enemy. Secondly, we need to consider others better than yourselves. It says here, finally, all of you have unity of mind, a humble mind. A humble mind means, in other translation, to keep a humble attitude. God has called us to consider others better than ourselves. Truth is, the person seated next to you is better than you. That person is better than you. Ano lang, who among you are seated next to a person who thinks that he is so guapo? Para sa iya, siya ng pinakagwapo sa kalibutan. Gabi. Diba, we have friends like that na, guwapo kay ko, everywhere he goes. Diba? Every time mo, lang daw sa samin kay. Diba? Alright, in comparison to this guy, oh, diba? And the ladies will agree, this is Gungyo. Gungyo, Gungmi, Gungwi. Alright, moving on. Alright, or who among you here have friends when they go to school, I can top that board exam or I can be the best in my studies. And then that person enrolls to this school. Oh, diba? Lampaso. Or who among you here have friends who is rich? Ayan, rich. Jetro daw. Si Mayor. Until this person meets this guy, Bill Gates. Guess what? Bill Gates is still on the list of the richest man on earth. You see, the truth of the matter is, there will always be people better than you. Guess what? Like what Mav said, I shared the gospel to Tom, I shared the gospel to Mav, but guess what? They're going ahead of me. Tom is my boss now in campus ministry, and that's okay. Why? Because God did not call us to compete with one another, but God called us to build one another. That is not our calling. I mean, there will always be people better than you. You think that you're the most handsome? Guess what? Naapay mas guwapo sa imo ha. You think you're the richest person on earth? There will always be someone better than you. What do you tell the person seated next to you? You're better than me. That's why Philippians 2:3 says here, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. When you talk about humility, when you talk about considering yourself, C.S. Lewis said it so powerfully. The true humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it is thinking of yourself less. It's not you saying na, I'm sorry, John, I cannot make disciples kasi ingani ra ko. I came from a poor family, probinsyano ra ko, and all that. No, that is not what God has intended for us when He said, consider others better than ourselves. But rather, God has called us to consider others to be better than ourselves. While we understand who we are in Christ, it is us understanding first and foremost that God has already placed a high price for us. That's why we can serve others. We can consider others better than ourselves. Lastly, build each other up. 1 Peter 3:8, it says, you love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. In 1 Peter 3:8 in ESV, it says here, sympathy, brotherly love, and a tender heart. When you talk about us coming together and building one another, like I said, we are not called to compete with one another, but God has called us to build each other up. God has called us to encourage. It is our duty to honor people. It is our culture here in our church to honor people. That's why if you've noticed that before we introduce someone, we will place or put up a platform for you to listen to that person. And we don't just, you know, thank the person, but we honor people here. That's why every time we have volunteers having birthday, we take time to celebrate with them. Why? Because they are important and we have a culture here that honors people. It says here in 1 Thessalonians, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We build each other up by honoring one another. And that is our culture here. And the mark of true humility is when you are able to build other people. When we stop considering ourselves, when we stop thinking of our own selves and start thinking of others, start thinking of what's happening around us. Sometimes we are so locked up with our own issue that we miss to understand and feel what's happening around us. No wonder we are so pathetic about the things that's happening in Mindanao, the things that's happening all over the world, bombings all over the world. Why? Because we're so consumed about ourselves and what we need. Sometimes when we go to church and people invite us to church, diba, most of our question is, what's in it for me? Sometimes you always think of, what's in it for me? If someone invites you to a victory group, what's in it for me? But what if I tell you that there is something God has placed upon you for you to put in the table of this church, for you to serve this church, so that this church can function in what God has called them, and that is to reach out the world and be a salt and light. Going back, just a recap, it says here, make every effort to keep the unity, consider others better than yourself, and build each other up. Why go in the hustle of fighting for unity? Why is God encouraging us all together to come in unity, lock arms together, consider the person's need at your right, consider the person's need in your left? Why? Because there is a great mandate that God has called us as a church. And if we do not do our part, if we do not keep this unity, there is a greater risk here. Church, these are the campuses of our city. And if we don't do our part and we let the campus mission do their part alone, without us helping them in what God has called them to do, then guess what? They can only do little. But imagine with me, if all of us, you're saying, this is all I have, John, this 1 hour time to spend with a student. John, all I have is this amount to support the campus missionary. John, this is all I have. No matter how much you have, no matter how little time you have, but if you're willing to give it to God for the purpose of reaching out the campus, reaching out the nation, guess what? Together we can make a big difference in this city and in this nation. Another thing is our country. See, we've heard it all over social media, in our news. A lot of things are happening in our country. And sometimes we're so caught up in our own moment that we miss the opportunity to take part of what God has called us to do. And there are still other nations out there who haven't heard the gospel. Who are we gonna send? Guess what? God is calling us to go out there. We have a great call. God has called us with this great mission. And what are we doing? Are we locking ourselves in our insecurities? Are we locking ourselves with our differences with the person seated next to us? Are we locking ourselves with that offense that one leader talked to us? Or are we locking ourselves to that gossip that we want to share to our victory group? Guess what? Allow me to share it here and say it here, that your victory group is not a room for you to gossip. That is a room for you to come together, build each other, so that you can move towards what God has called you to do. That is not an opportunity for you to tear one person down when that person is not around in your victory group. I hope it's not happening in your victory group. Why? Because we do not tolerate gossip in this church. This church has been here for 16 years. And we don't want any gossip just to destroy this church. We will always fight for each other. Guess what? We will fight for one another. If people will tell me about my pastor or the staff they're doing, guess what? I will fight for them. I will stand for them. Yes, I will tell them what you guys are telling me, but guess what? I will stand my ground and fight for my leaders. You know what's happening in Syria, right? In other nations, bombing all over. And if we keep considering ourselves, if we keep locking ourselves to what God has called us to do, then we miss the opportunity of influencing the world and shaping the world. Now, what does coming in unity look like? Allow me to share some stories here. The two guys that have arrows, that's Lam and Chris, they are from Germany. Lam is a Vietnamese who was born in Germany and grew up in Germany. Intentionally, they were here for 2 nights. I don't know if you're familiar with couch surfing. Couchsurfing is an online organization where you allow travelers to stay in your place for free. So for some reason, I opened my house for them to stay in, and then I invited them to youth services and to fellowship. Guess what? These 2 days turned out to be 5 days. And up until today, I still have that opportunity to share Jesus with these two guys. Lam is not a believer, but because of the fellowship that he got to see, he came to understand na some people around him are like 20, some are 15, but why can they still come together? Some are coming from Mindanao, Luzon, Visayas, but why are they still able to love one another? And he is so surprised that there's something different with this group of people. Another story I want to share, in 2011, we met this guy. This is MK, he's a Korean. When he came here, he did not believe in God, like zero knowledge of God. And during the time that we spent time with him, we did not share Jesus sa iyaha and all that. What we did is we just showed him how we do fellowship. Mga late night tapoks, ang mga katawanay namo sa boulevard and all that. And on his last day, when we asked him, the picture on the lower part where he had this henna tattoo, what's written here is sola fide, faith alone. Why? Because at this time, he learns to understand what grace is, what faith is, what Jesus has done for him. On the last day, when everyone was gathered and everyone was saying, na, MK, is there something you want to share to everyone? And we realized, oh, my goodness, what have we done to this person? He started saying this line, na, how did you guys come together? Some of you are from Mindanao. Some of you are from Visayas. Some of you are men. Some of you are women. Some of you are older. Some of you are younger. But you were able to love one another. And his last line said this, I'd never believed in God, but maybe this time I will. You see, that's what happens when we come